Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic hits.
At the start of the month, a Mayo Fine Gael County councillor said that President Michael D. Higgins should welcome refugees into the Áras. Now, Councillor Tom Connolly said refugees were being bulldozed into rural Ireland and the President should do his bit if he was asking the rest of the country to embrace inclusion. Independent TD Carol Nolan called on the President to do the same in March. Now, I am sure these comments were a bit tongue-in-cheek, designed to draw attention to the vast number of asylum seekers that are entering Ireland at the moment because, let's be clear, it is ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, isn't it ridiculous? To suggest we open up the presidential home to people seeking international protection. Or is that ridiculous? At the weekend, the call to do so gained traction. Patrick O'Donovan, the Minister for State for the Office of Public Works, asked his officials to write to President Michael D. Higgins about housing refugees in the Áras. Now, there is space, there's no doubt about it. There's 92 rooms in the Áras, in Áras an Uachtaráin in Phoenix Park, which includes office rooms, state rooms, visitors' museum, the president's own accommodation and toilets, and they all have their own toilet facilities, and there are about 5 spare bedrooms which are used occasionally by visiting guests. But what I want to know is this even a reasonable suggestion? Some politicians have opened up their homes to refugees, including, by the way, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, who welcomed a Ukrainian refugee and musician, 28-year-old Olisa Barzurk, I think is his name, to his home in South Dublin last year. But he's probably the only politician I know of that's actually doing it. Anyway, but is it a security risk? Or is it just what we should do if we want to lead by example? In other words, in the President's speech at Christmas time, he talked about embracing diversity, he talked about welcoming refugees, and he talked about the division in society. So indeed, you know, if these politicians are right in saying this, what they're basically saying is, lead by example, Mr. President. You have loads of space there, it's a massive house, there's only the two of you in it. So, lead by example. So, I want to know what you think. Now, as of February, the number of refugees just fleeing war in Ukraine and arriving in Ireland is almost 75,000. That is not including the huge influx of people who are coming for international protection from other countries, which has risen dramatically over the last year and a half. So we have probably over 100,000 people have come to Ireland in the last 12 months. It's quite a substantial jump in the population for a short period of time. With obviously the middle of a housing crisis, that didn't certainly help. So I want to know, do you think it's a serious suggestion that the President open up his home to refugees if indeed he's telling everybody else to do it? Is that a serious suggestion? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. That's a WhatsApp number. If you want to call in, you can. The number to call in on is 0818-942-105. That's 0818-942-105. Let me go to Oisín first, if I can. Oisín, you're on Ireland's Classic Kids Radio.
Hey, Noel, how's you?
How are you doing, Oisín? I mean, really, are we being serious here by suggesting that the President should open his home to refugees?
Now, we just buried his dog. That's going to take a bit of space.
Well, right? It is. It is. Sadly, he did just bury his dog, by the way, for people who didn't know that.
Correct, yeah. No, no, in fairness, I don't see him putting tents up and on a route run. I don't see him doing it.
Probably. Well, by the way, he did say it's not his decision. It's the decision of the Office of Public Works.
Correct. Unfortunately, it is, because I think it falls under their remit. I think it's part of their building or their grounds or something to do with that. But, I'll be honest with you. I don't see it happening because President in acting or whatever his role is, you could have sense of information floating around all over the place in there. Now, I'm not saying it's all over the place. You know what I mean? But you're not going to have refugees wandering the halls. No. Do you know what I mean? If that were the case, everybody would be, not because they're refugees or the situation they find themselves in, but everybody would be fairly tightly controlled. I don't see it happen. I really don't.
But you know, should people lead by example? I know this sounds seem like daft because I wouldn't expect, say, the White House to take in refugees or Downing Street to take in refugees. But if you're telling everybody else to do it and you've got a massive amount of space, this is what people are saying. Well, then lead by example there, Prezi.
Well, in fairness, that is a bit of a double standard now when you know, pull it that way, whereby it's kind of do what I say and not what I do. Mm. You know what I mean? I mean, if like the best of us, I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. If I could take in one or two refugees, I would. I'm just not in a situation where I can. And that's not a cop-out. I just don't have the space. Yeah. You know what
and
I mean?
And would you? Well, here's the question. Would you take in refugees?
If I had the space, genuinely, yes, I would. Yeah. 100%, yes, I would.
Okay. I'm going to say straight off the bat, I wouldn't. And because I believe for just like the president, mind you, I'm not the president. I think it's a security risk. I mean, would you take in lodgers that you don't even know? With the greatest respect, you don't know where people have come. Well, you know where they've come from, obviously. But I mean, a lot of the refugees, by the way, are not Ukrainian. They're from different parts of the world: Somalia, Algeria, Nigeria, and all different parts of the world.
Israel.
Absolutely. Yep. So, are you happy enough to take somebody into your home? I'm just being honest and say I wouldn't.
Oh, no. In fairness, no. You'd have to go through a whole vetting process because, as you rightly said, you don't know who you're taking in. Mm. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, it's your home. You want it to be safe. You want it to be, you know, looked after, clean, blah, blah, blah. You don't want any issues or hassle. Not, again, because the person or people in question are refugees. It's a different way of life. They may not be used to it. You'd have to be extremely careful. Like, extremely, extremely careful. As in, who you let into your home. And it's a minefield. You'd have to set out, like, I wouldn't say guidelines, but kind of, you know, I'm not here. I go to work, so I'll be home at, you know, this time. Yeah. And, you know, so please, you know, leave the house as you find it. And even that sounds condescending.
But you're leaving a complete stranger in your house. I don't want to put people off the idea, because some people are more charitable than me when it comes to that kind of situation, maybe. And I am very charitable in other ways. But I don't know about leaving complete strangers in my house.
No, everybody has to make that judgment call. In fairness, they do. They really have to. You have to be comfortable. You have to be safe. You have to know, obviously, they're safe, you're safe. And hopefully it continues that way. So it's a big leap of faith.
Okay. By the way, if there's anybody listening who has taken in refugees into their home, I want to know about it. Let us know. Text 087-188-0008. Come on the air and tell us why you did it and how you're getting on. Because I would like to think everybody's getting on okay. I haven't heard any horror stories. You know what I mean? So, there has been one or two weird stories, yes. I remember there was one woman we had on the air going back about a year ago, or almost a year ago, and she'd taken somebody in. And sadly, the girl or the woman that she'd taken in with her daughter was an escort. So that wasn't very pleasant. Anyway, but stay there. That would be an isolated case. And let me go to Bernie. Bernie, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing, Bernie?
Hi, Niall. How are you tonight?
Nice to talk to you, Bernie. Bernie, firstly, the president. I mean, is this a bit tongue-in-cheek, or do you really believe the president should make room for some refugees in, you know, what is a 92-room house?
No, I don't, to be honest, because it's going to belong to the people of the country. And when you're in president, you get the house along with the job.
Yeah.
But it's still part of our you know, if we have to sell, huge places in a hurry, if we ran out of money, say, isn't that one of the places that have to be sold? But I also think he has a private dwelling himself. Why doesn't he let that out?
Yeah, in Galway, I think, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's in Galway somewhere that he has a house. And would he not, would his private dwelling would be acceptable? Let him do that.
Mm.
Because he's not used, he can't be. I don't think he could be in the two places at the one time.
Well, I assume he uses it for a holiday home or retreat, does he? I don't know. I don't follow him at all, to be honest with you.
No, nor me either. I mean,
I mean, the Irish president is a figurehead, you know. I mean, we don't really kind of keep an eye on him to see what he's up to, you know what I mean?
He's a very well-read and well-spoken person and whatever, but I don't know anything about the man, if I'm honest. I just know he's personable and, you know, he attends different functions.
By the way, I'm just curious now, what do you think of him as a president? I mean, we've had him for two terms almost now. I mean, what do you think of him as a president?
I think he represents our country okay. I think he represents the people, but he's a bit of a loose cannon in some respects of different things. Like,
well, I've no problem with him being a bit of a loose cannon every now and again. I think that's a good thing.
It worked well for him, in fairness.
Didn't work out too well for Tucker Carlson, but go ahead. But Oisin, as a president over the last, 2011, 2012, what do you think? I mean, do you think he's been a good president? For what presidents do in Ireland, do you think he's been a good president?
Well, I think he is. I think he's represented us very well. I know he's, you know, he's a bit of a, as I said, a loose cannon, but I do think when he's anywhere, he speaks very well. He's very polished. And, you know, he's...
Oh, he is very articulate, yes.
Yes, I think, and he's well-read. You know, he seems to know a lot about stuff, history and things that we wouldn't really be... So he does. I think he does. Me personally, I think he does represent as well. But I think that given the Áras an Uachtaráin over to him, no.
Okay, wait, let's stay there. Mandy, are you there?
I am. I'm here.
Okay, Mandy, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. Now, Mandy, you've heard Oisín and Bernie and both. Well, Oisín says he doesn't have the power to do it anyway, but Bernie says no, absolutely not. You know, this is kind of taking the piss a little bit. Do you believe he should take people in?
Oh, definitely. Of course he should.
Okay.
If he's 92 rooms there, as you say, 92 rooms, of course he should, because they're being unleashed upon the Irish. Every village nearly in every town in Ireland is being filled with refugees at the minute. Like,
when you say unleashed, you make that sound like an extremely negative thing. It's not always negative.
It is. At the minute, it's very negative, with busloads of men coming into small communities. I mean, people above in different parts of Dublin and Mullingar, places like that, are afraid of their lives to let their children out to play in their own gardens because you've got groups of men hanging around at every corner from different parts of the country that nobody knows where they're from.
I am going to agree with you that
it should be unleashed on him.
Okay, I do agree with you that it has been imposed upon the Irish people over the last 12 months quite vigorously. And I do believe that more checks and balances should be done. And I also do believe, and I've said this numerous times, that there should be a cap on the numbers. And we do it gently and slowly. Because, by the way, this country is capable of a population of 10 million people. Because that's what we had during the famine, or before the famine. So it is, you know, if we grow the economy slowly, we can increase the population of the country. But to do it very quickly in a short amount of time, particularly during a housing crisis, probably wasn't the ideal situation. And also, as you rightly said, some people are vetted, some are not vetted, and we don't necessarily know everybody we're allowing into the country. And I think that should be done. Certainly, there should be more checks and balances. People who genuinely need help should be getting help. But, Mandy, really, would you suggest... I mean, you wouldn't see refugees in the White House. You wouldn't see them in Downing Street. Do you know what I mean?
No.
I mean, you certainly wouldn't see them in the Taj Mahal. I mean, I'm just saying to you, you're not... You know, these are state... This is a state building. It's owned by the people. As Bernie rightly said. I mean, I know it's a bit tongue-in-cheek saying, well, you know, lead by example, et cetera, but in saying that, would you really do that? Is that how desperate we are?
Absolutely. Oh, definitely.
Or are you just doing it for spice? Are you just doing it for spice?
Not at all. Why would I want to do it for spice? I mean, if the room is there, wouldn't it save one community 92 unvetted people in their community? Sure. Like,
you keep going on about unvetted. They might be vetted.
Well, some of them might be, but they all seem to be men. There doesn't seem to be any families coming in. It's all men, young, able-bodied, military-age men that's coming in.
Well, if you're talking about people seeking international... Okay, if you're talking people seeking international protection, yes, there has been quite a substantial amount of men, proportionately.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about Ukrainian refugees, the majority of those are women.
Yeah, but at the minute, there hasn't been any. There hasn't been any Ukrainian families. These are... I'm talking about the busloads. Put the busloads of the men into Áras an Uachtaráin and see what happens. Put 92 unvetted men in there and let the president deal with them, because none of them in government care about these small communities that is being absolutely destroyed with these people. They can't let their kids out. You know,
with great respect, they're not all like that, Bernie. Or Mandy.
Not me, Mandy.
Sorry. They're not Mandy. They're not all like that.
No, they're not, but I mean,
some people are just they're fleeing for their lives.
Yeah, some people might be, but I'm talking about the majority. Like, at the end of the day, every time you turn on your Facebook or something, there's some one of them that's after either raping or committing crime. We're not hearing
I've been watching these stories. And yes, it has happened. But a lot
of
it.
You're not hearing it on the news. You're not going to hear any of this on RTE news. There was a fella, an Irish man, took off his bike the day before yesterday by a foreign national. It was videoed. I don't know whether you've seen the video or not. He was stabbed in the face for his bike. You're not going to hear that on RTE news. He took the bike off.
With the greatest respect, when you've got 100,000 people the chances are there are going to be individuals within those 100 people who will be violent. If I took 100,000 Irish people tomorrow, the chances are you will have people who will be violent, who will quite happily stab somebody in the face for a bike. We had a young man stabbed a woman to death down on the quays, a Chinese woman down to death on the quays, just to take her money. Went to jail there only recently. So what I'm saying to you is, you will always have violent people in all cultures and society. So, okay, let's just move away. Let me get back to the RS. Bernie, you heard what Mandy said. Lead by example. Look, if you're going to, as the word she used, unleash people on the small towns and villages in Ireland, and then unleash them on yourself, Bernie.
No, I differentiate it slightly. I understand and I agree with what Mandy has said about there is a lot of people that we don't know anything about. That's another topic. But refugees, to me, are people fleeing war or conflict. And, you know, I don't trust the media and what they're telling us about these people, because a lot of them, we're told, there's all men and women from Ukraine, and actually there's all women and children. It's actually, we've had a lot of men down here of a army age from Ukraine, and they're you know, here. I go around Galway and there's hardly any Irish people speaking in the country, in the city. However, you know, to do it properly, you need to make sure that everybody coming in here is safe for us. We're going to anywhere else. We are so, you know, all the paperwork we have to put in, all the educational standards we have to reach. How come it's not the same for people coming here?
But what I'm saying to you is, and I know, sorry, hang on, Oisin. I understand what you make it, but do you, I mean, you've heard Mandy saying it's quite a negative thing to have all these people, you know, brought into a small town or a village.
Is it negative? I'll be honest.
Okay.
Because I live in a small village and we do unfortunately have some people move in and we don't know anything about them, and it's very worrying.
And when you say it's worrying, what are you worried particularly about?
Because there's no community, you know, like some of them don't speak our language, firstly. We don't know what they're talking about. They just seem to queue. The shops, it's very intimidating to see four or five men in a shop in the evening trying to get a bottle of milk with a small child in your arms. You don't know what they are. They won't get out of your way. They don't understand our ways. I actually feel uncomfortable and I feel nervous. And I never felt like this before in 10 years ago. I didn't feel like this. And now I do.
Mm. And by the way, I am not dismissing your fears whatsoever. But when you have a changing society, and it is a changing society, whether we like it or not, where you have more diversity and you have people coming from other countries, particularly people who have come in an emergency situation or they've come quite quickly and they haven't prepared to come to Ireland, they probably don't speak English. Yes, there's cultural differences. And I remember many, many years ago when, you know, the first people start coming into Ireland, because you go back 20 years ago, we had no diversity in Ireland. We were all just Irish, right? But I remember somebody saying to me, there was this fella in the bank, he must have been from Africa, because they don't even say hello to you. And I went, it's this thing Irish people have. We walk down the street, we don't even know somebody, and you go, how are you doing? They don't do that. That's not culturally what they do in different countries. That's an Irish thing, you know. And we expect people to say hello back, or we think they're rude, you know what I mean?
But no, we have our own individuality. That's who we are. And that's what we are. It's very hard now. I'm afraid.
And it saddens me to say we're losing that individuality.
Exactly.
But unfortunately, you can fight that fight. And I'm not saying, Bernie, you should fight the fight, or Mandy, or Oisin. But you can fight that fight. And, you know, and I would fight that fight happily on your behalf as well. But unfortunately, there is absolutely nothing we can do. The world, because of telecommunications, because of travel, because of the way things are, the world has become a global village.
Okay, now, can I just ask then, if the government are expecting us to accept all this with our arms open and, you know, big smile on our face and go, come on here, dog, are they not going to educate us?
The government are wrong. By the way, can I just point out, the government absolutely are wrong, and they're doing this the wrong way. I am not going to defend the government.
There should be a cap. There should have been a cap at the start. 100%.
Of course there should have been. There should have been some level of logic.
Genuinely, put a cap on it.
Oh, sorry, Oisin, you want to say something? Go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry. I'm not being, you know, horrible or nasty here. There should have been a cap.
Yes.
Obviously,
I would agree.
The housing crisis, the whole lot. Obviously, you can't take every factor into consideration, but I'll be honest with you. And if I come across horrible, because I'd hate to be in the situation some of these people are in, men, women, children, genuinely, there should have been a cap. They should have considered how many can we take in, and I'm going to say how many as in how many people, where can we put them, how can we look after them, and there should have been a cap put in place. We'll take 20,000 and we will review it after that.
And that's what I said when I was on television with a group of politicians that time. And I was berated and called a racist for even suggesting that we should have a cap. And I said, put it on, this was back when we had 50,000. I said, put it on pause for 6 months. Let's review it in 6 months. Look after the people that are here. And in 6 months' time, we'll come back to it and say, can we take another 20? Can we take another 10? But that's the way it should be done. But unfortunately, you know, we do like to virtue signal in this country. Ireland seems to be the one. I mean, we have taken in, you take in the French into consideration. I think it's 0.1% of the population is refugees. We've taken in 1% of the population, which is 10 times
as
much.
That's correct,
So, you know, and the French have put a stop to it. The British, for example, are deporting people. We have deportation orders, but most of them, 99%, I don't know the percentage, probably 85% or something, are not being carried out. People are not being deported from Ireland. It doesn't matter who they are, they're not being deported from Ireland. And
correct,
that's ridiculous. We can't allow this to continue where people are arriving into the country with absolutely no identification, no passports, no papers. That's ridiculous. Mandy is right in relation to that. You know, we don't even know who some people are.
Niall, if you lose your passport, your own passport in America, Australia, anywhere.
Well, you're not getting in. You're not getting in. And by the way, I do understand, before somebody attacks you for saying that, I do understand, you know, you're running from, you know, if you're genuinely coming from a war-torn country where there's bombs going off, the last thing you're thinking about is looking in your bedroom for your passport while a bomb is going off in the background. I get that, if you're genuinely fleeing from war-torn countries. But, you know, Albania is not at war at the moment. You know, there's many countries people are coming from that are not at war at this particular moment in time. So I don't understand why people can't have papers. They're destroying the papers on purpose on the plane because they're getting onto the plane with the papers, but they don't have them getting off again. And we should be looking into that.
Yeah, and in fairness, they won't be turned away either.
No, and again, I say some could be genuine, and we've got to treat each individual case, and we should have experts being able to treat and assess every single situation. You know, and if people need help, give them help.
But also, Niall, like, I mean, when they turn up in our village, say, that we, first of all, as we know who they are, they can tell us they're in a peaceful, quiet, safe area. We have the expertise here, so they came to the community centre, we introduced ourselves, you know, tried to mix. There's none of that. They're arriving in the middle of the night, we don't know who they are. You wake up in the morning, there's another 40 people after landing overnight. Like, what is the secrecy and why is it hidden?
I think everybody is not stupid. The government might deny this.
No.
We know why they do it in the middle of the night. And the reason they do it in the middle of the night is to avoid people standing in front of the, you know, the gates of whatever hotel it is or whatever place it is or community centre it is that they're being brought to. So it's to avoid complications. And, you know, there was a time in Ireland when refugees came to Ireland. And again, I say if they need help, we should support them and welcome them. But there was a time when refugees came to Ireland where things were planned. The local community was informed beforehand, you know, and people were taught. And then, because obviously, when you want to bring into a small community an extra 300 people or 200 people, you have to allow for, you know, doctors in the area, schools in the area, all the infrastructure in the area has to be capable of taking that.
It makes a big impact. I mean,
absolutely. Of course it is.
You know, you've an extra surplus of people. So, you know, where do they go? Can they find jobs? Can they get schools? You know, again, GPs, hospitals, if they have no paperwork, you don't know the medical history. That can be said for us as well, in fairness, or any other nationality. Yeah. But at the same time, no paperwork. You're kind of going, here are you? What's wrong?
Yeah.
Right, what do we do here? And then you have to go and do the whole backtracing.
Well, you see, Bernie, this brings me back to the original question. Well, if the president of the country disagrees with you, which he does, because he said it so much in his speech at Christmas and he told you and everybody else in Ireland to be welcoming and to welcome diversity and to help people as much as we can and all that kind of stuff, you know, well, then surely by what this Carol Nolan, the TD, has said and others have said, that he should be leading by example. Surely you should be saying that too, Bernie.
Yeah. Well, I still don't think that ours and Uachtaráin should be handled. Let him use his private dwelling. Maybe he's two. Maybe he's three. Get them up. Mm. But that's the devil to us. That property, the ours and Uachtaráin, is owned by the people. It's estate owned.
Let me go. Stay there. Let me go to Mary as well. Stay there, Bernie. Mary, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing, Mary?
Okay, 1 second, and I don't need
you
on because
it's
echo.
I know why there's an echo, because you have the radio on in the background. Now, Mary.
Yeah,
Yeah. I had no problem them coming into the country. I couldn't care less by going out my own front door, whatever. But before Christmas, about a week before Christmas, I was going down street in Limerick. I'm from Limerick. And one guy passed on a bike. No, he ran and another guy was on a bike. And I had my bag on my shoulder. They told me
to say about this now.
Go on.
What?
Sorry, go on.
And the guy on the bike tore me to the ground because I wouldn't let my bag go.
Right.
He was Eastern European, and I didn't know that till he turned around because he realized I was on the ground and just took off. I went to the guards. A woman brought me to the guards that just passed. And do you know what he said to me? What you should have left your bag go, Mary. Oh. You have to protect yourself. Well, I let my bag go. Are you serious?
Well, now I'm going to be honest. See, the guard was right to say that. And I would give the same advice to any woman, because sadly we have individuals in society who will happily take your bag because your purse is in it and everything even belongs to you is in it, right? But if somebody has ever taken your bag, I would always advise people to let it go, because it's easier to let it go and have them run off with material goods that you can get back, or you can stop your bank accounts, you can ring up your bank, than to be injured in the process or somebody give you a hiding because you won't let it go. Do you understand what I'm saying? I do understand what he was saying. He's not condoning what happened to you by saying that to you. Do you know what I mean?
It's twice that happened to me.
I know,
twice.
It's wrong, Mary, it's wrong.
But no, it's a initial reaction was right.
Oh, no, I know. Yeah.
You're protecting herself. You
know, of course.
She wanted to protect her valuables.
Yeah, no, and we all want
Nobody
to protect
her
valuables.
Nobody wants to hand over their bag with money in it Christmas time.
Of course, you're right, Mary. Nobody does want to hand it over.
By the bus stop where I get the bus at Arthur's Quay, a lot of buses pull up there, you know. All the buses pull up there, basically, because of the roadworks or whatever they're doing in the town. But, again, it happened to me again. I was sitting down on the seat under the shelter. There was two or three of us there and had my phone in my hand. And I was showing a girl photographs of my grandchildren. That was fine. And I had bags of shopping in front of me. And they just picked up the bag. There was a girl there now this time with a fella. Now, Eastern European or Pakistan, I don't know, as I say, I don't know what they were, but I know they weren't Irish. And I just grabbed the bag and she gave me a belt in my other bag. We said the other shopping bag. I grabbed the bag she tried to take, but she had already had one in her hand. Mm. And I was only over heart surgery and she gave me a belt to that bag.
Oh,
I had open heart surgery. And what do the guards do? They do nothing. There's cameras there, like.
Well, if there's cameras there, they should have went and got the CCTV.
But there's cameras in where I was doing the last time as well, because I said it to him.
And did you follow it up? Did you go back down to the guards and say, listen, what are you doing about it?
They just said, you should have let go of your bag, Mary, because you have to protect yourself.
And that's fine. But did he then say we'll investigate it? We'll go and look at the CCTV in the area. Did he do any of that?
No, I just walked out because I was mad at what he said.
Huh.
I walked out.
Now I'll tell you now, Mary, I would be demanding, if you've been assaulted and you've had your bag taken, I'd be demanding that they look at the CCTV.
No, they didn't get the bag. The first time.
No, I know. I'm just saying the second time. Second time, yeah.
Or the second time was my shopping bag.
Yeah.
You know, with stuff in it.
Yeah.
And I was wary of them because I had put my bag tight on my waist when I saw them coming. But they weren't the same people now. They weren't. This was a girl and a fella. And she went to pick up my bag and I said, no. And she had already got another bag and handed it to him, whoever she was with. And I went to walk and she gave me a belt, a white belt across the chest with the bag. Now, I couldn't do nothing. I just stooped down with the pain. And I didn't go to the guard straight away there then because I was told come home because of the pain I got. And I went home on the bus. The busman was totally mad, fuming, when he realised what I told him what happened. And went to the guards the next day. And what did you do to them, Mary? I don't know. What do you mean what I do to them?
Did you aggravate them? I said, are you serious?
You know, I said, what is going on in this country at all?
So on that, note, because of your bad experience, what you believe people who weren't Irish and you believe they may have been refugees, because of your bad experience, you believe the president should take them into his own house?
Oh, 100%. Because he's protected in there, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? They're not going to get out of hand where he is. Or would there be below?
I don't know. I imagine having, you know, if you took in, say, 20 or 30 people into the RS, there's 92 rooms, but if you took in 20 or 30 people, I would imagine it is a security risk. Of course it is. She don't know.
Of course it is.
Hmm.
They have no morals. Those people don't have morals.
Sorry, Bernie, what are you saying?
I said those people don't have around the clock at our nukes are on, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
And also, if they're going to use it for refugees, why don't they use it for a nursing home facility? If it's run by the Irish people, can they use it for the children's hospital, the interim place for the children's hospital? If he wants to offer it up for something, use it for the people of the country.
Yeah, well, hold on. Let me just go to Margaret as well. Margaret, you're in Ireland's Classics Radio. How you doing, Margaret?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
I'm good, Margaret. Now, the president, should he take refugees?
No.
No.
No way. No.
Right.
No way.
Okay.
And what's the name of the other building the government owned up there that we had Leo shaking hands to Joe Biden there last week?
Which, the Shannon? The Shannon's or?
Family House.
Family House. Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
That's the one.
Yeah.
I'll put them in there.
Put them in there. But isn't Farmley the US ambassador's home? Is it?
No.
Is it? No, Bernie, who stays in Farmley?
It belongs to the OPW. The American embassy is in the park, but it's run by the American security and everything. As far as I'm aware, it's further over. Farmley,
put them in.
Right, okay. So put them in Farmley, Margaret.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Put them in there, and we have enough in the country. Closed down, lockdown now.
Oh, don't mention the word. That's like a dirty word, lockdown. Don't mention the word lockdown. I've heard that for the God knows many years now.
I'm not going to say what I'm going to say, really and truly.
What are we going to say?
You know, there's over 85 Ukrainians.
Thousand. No, but 75,000.
Then there's other.
Yeah, there's probably over 100,000 or 110,000 people, yeah.
Yeah. And I guarantee you know what's going on in Sudan. What's that other place? They're all blowing up.
Of course, yes. Well, and it is shocking what's going on there at the moment. Irish people, of course, have been able to come home now.
Don't get me wrong, what I'm saying now.
Yeah.
Like what's going on in Ukraine and what's going on in other countries where, I mean, it's the world has just gone mad and it's gone out of hand, the whole bloody lot.
But your argument is we're not responsible for the problems of the world.
We're not. We're a small country, Niall. And it's the people of this country are going to pay for all this. It's all right for the President Higgins and Leo and Mr. Martin and all the other ones that are sitting in the Dáil saying, we can't turn away people. We have to be welcoming. Well, I'm sorry.
Well, you can turn away people. Of course, you can turn around and say we don't have enough room and we're in the middle of a crisis. But stay there, both of you, Bernie. And hang on, Margaret and Bernie, because Billy just wants to say something.
Hold on, Niall, hold on a minute.
Yeah, go on, Bernie.
No, hold on a minute, yeah. Niall.
I'm holding.
We had a guy who brought, through the Immigrant Council, who brought the government to the High Court because he wasn't provided with a place to stay.
That's right.
Yeah.
I know. It's set a precedent, by the way, because under the Constitution of Ireland, you're entitled to shelter. Mm-hmm.
There's thousands of Irish people and 3,500 plus children that are Irish that have nowhere to go.
Well, with respect, the Constitution provides or should provide you with shelter. That could mean a hostel. There are over 10,000, nearly 11,000 people currently in Ireland who are registered as homeless. But they are most, 99% of those, are staying in temporary accommodation. So they will be in hotels.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're not out on the streets. Now, with the greatest respect, Margaret, they're not out on the streets.
They're over. But did you hear what they said over the weekend about what they're going to do with housing? They're going to build apartments. Apartments galore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have a family, Niall,
yeah,
apartment life is no way for a child to be living.
I'm not going to disagree with you, but in saying that, it's better than nothing. And if you're getting it and you're down on your luck and you don't have much money and you can't afford a home, isn't it better than a hotel room?
Grand if you're a single person.
No.
Or
there are people all over the world with children who live in apartments. It's not ideal. If I had children, I would much prefer to have a back garden for them to play in. But it's not ideal. But it's better than nothing. Stay there for a second. Just both of you stay there. Let me go to Billy as well.
No,
well, hang on, Margaret. I need to go to Billy before the break. Billy, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
How are you keeping?
Okay, you have a bit of an issue what Bernie said earlier on there, because Bernie said, you know, like they don't know who the people are that are coming into her town, et cetera, et cetera. And your argument is, what does she want? A personal invitation to every, or a personal introduction to every one of them?
Yeah, it's a fair point. Like, you're never going to know everyone who's coming into the town. It's impossible. Unless they, like, you know, they're not going to bring every refugee that comes into town around to every house and introduce them. It just doesn't work like that. The volume is too big.
Mm-hmm. Of course. But Billy, to be fair, normally going back a few years ago when, you know, say for Syrian refugees, for example, when they came into a town, there would be a consultation with the people, you know, in the community centre with the local politician a couple of weeks beforehand to say, listen, this is what's happening. But that's not happening anymore. It's just happening now. And that's the point Bernie's making.
As we're well aware, the world has changed drastically in the last 18 months. And, you know, this type of conversation is exactly what the likes of Mr. Putin wants happening in countries like Ireland, where we're starting to tear each other apart because of refugees coming into this country. I don't know any personally, but I would say the Ukrainian refugees that are coming into this country would happily sleep in tents. I know there was a big issue with tents out in County Clare where they were sleeping, but I would say they would happily sleep in tents because they're not bombs falling on the roofs or not buildings being hit by missiles and bullets flying around them. So, you know, let's be real here.
Sorry, Bernie.
They were complaining. That's where you're wrong. They were complaining.
Well, hang on. Let me just, Bernie, respond to what Billy said. You know, Bernie, you were saying earlier on that, you know, you don't know who these people are. And Billy said, well, look, it's a crisis time. You're not going to get a personal, you know, invitation to meet every single one of them or personal introduction.
I appreciate that, but I don't know the language. I don't know they're not all Catholic. I don't know the religious. It's my ignorance. I don't know the Muslim people. But at the same time, I know myself when you travel, you know, that when people come to community on, say, overnight, like say 120 come in overnight and you go in the morning and they're all at the gym or in the post office and you don't know who they are. And it's nerve wracking for them as it is for us. And what do we do? Like, none of them will discuss. They don't have English. They don't want to interact with us. We've tried. We've met them on the streets at night and saying, would you like to wear a high-vis jacket? Because it's very dark down here. And they just look at us as if we are, you know, they did stonewall us, basically. And, like, we have been receptive. We have been open. But there's no community continuation. When they land somewhere, they're just literally dumped and gone. Nobody's talking to the post office or the local doctor. All he knows is in the morning he has to register 300 more people. And that's not right.
Bernie,
I mean, you wouldn't do that.
None of the issues that you've raised there, Bernie, are the fault of the refugee that's coming into the country. That's the fault
Absolutely.
Of the government.
It's
the fault of the ministers that make the decisions for not consulting with the community.
Before I go into the break, Billy, I'm going to keep the two of you there, but is it a bad... Are the government making bad decisions?
Has the government made bad decisions? Of course.
Yeah.
Well, of course the government's made bad decisions. We wouldn't be having this conversation now if the government had made all good decisions. Obviously, the scale, like, and we are a minnow when it comes to the scale. If you look at the amount of people that Poland have taken in and the rest of the Eastern European countries have taken in from Ukraine, it puts us in a...
They are their neighbours. For example, if it was the United Kingdom, we'd be taking a lot more, obviously. But they are the neighbours. Yeah, but look at what France has taken in, a lot less than us per head of population as well.
Per head of population, we are taking quite a lot per head of population,
yes.
I'll give you that.
Billy and Bernie, well, Bernie already answered it, but Billy, do you believe, you know, with those bad decisions by your own admission the government have made, should they have capped the numbers?
Legally speaking, Niall, I don't think it was possible for them to cap numbers.
Well, there was a suggestion that they could have, because Ireland was already in emergency crisis when it came to housing, but that wasn't broached. But there was a suggestion that was untrue, that they couldn't have capped the numbers.
I don't know, because they did sign up to EU agreements around the time of Syria.
Other countries have capped numbers.
You've got me there. I can't comment if other countries have, but I think there is a sustainable number of refugees that can be taken into a country at any given time. So yeah, on that logic alone, there probably should have been a cap of some sort put in.
It was, the timing wasn't good. Let's be clear about that.
The timing was
couldn't
terrible.
Have been worse.
Like, we've been in crisis, in a housing crisis in this country for the bones of God, nearly 8 years at this stage. Mm-hmm. If you go back far enough. Even though, funnily enough, if you go on Daft, there's plenty of accommodation to be had in Dublin. It's just very, very expensive. So I think it's more an affordability crisis than a housing crisis, but that's another subject.
Yeah.
But in terms of, taking in, what are we at now, 70,000?
Well, that's just Ukrainian refugees. That doesn't include people seeking international protection, which is probably, you can throw another 30,000 onto that.
So 100,000 is a percentage. Now, if you do the math on it, it's not a big percentage, but it is. You're talking the size
right.
of adding
another
county.
You're
adding another county, you're adding a county the size of Kilkenny nearly to the population.
And I did say to Bernie earlier on that Ireland could sustain 10 million people. Simon Coveney once said that if we did it, and it would be good for the economy over a long period of time. But we have to do it over a long period of time, not just in the space of 12 months.
Like 100,000, Niall, is about 2% of the population that you've taken in a year.
Do you believe that the president should lead by example? I mean, this question has been asked now for the last month by different politicians. Why is he not taking people in the Oris? Should he?
Because the Oris isn't... Like, can you imagine Joe Biden taking refugees into the White House?
No, I couldn't. Not for a minute.
It's an official state residence. Now, someone before me mentioned that Farmley House is a government residence, and probably that's where they should be taking in. But let's be honest here. Michael D. Higgins, he doesn't wield any power in the country in terms of the policy that's adopted by the government.
Well, yeah, but he's not slow to speak out.
He can speak out, and you can speak, and I can speak out. He has a better platform than I do, and maybe slightly better than you do. But at the end of the day, he is
probably a lot better than I do. In fairness, he's the first citizen, isn't he? I'm only the second citizen.
he can get on any radio show or TV show. I'm sure you might be limited. But it is a case that, he doesn't set the policy. He doesn't set the government's immigration policy. He has spoken out against the government and gone against the in regards to the housing crisis. He has brought that up, which is something that presidents aren't really meant to do under the Constitution, because they're not meant to get involved in politics.
They're not meant to have an opinion. No, they're meant to be impartial. No. Yes.
Exactly. They're supposed to be apolitical. I don't think taking refugees into the Oris would be a good idea. Someone did mention Farmley House, which is the residence of the official residence for the government and for government guests. And by all definition, these refugees are guests of the nation. So yeah.
Okay. We'll stay there for a second. Let me go to Adam just before we go to the break. Adam, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing, Adam?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Adam, should the president take in refugees?
No, I think it's a security risk for him to take them in there. I think it's a security risk to take them into any official building.
Yeah.
However, that being said, all I keep on hearing, not just on tonight's show, but in general, is all these unvetted men, and then Ukrainians in the same sentence. Well, Ukrainians, even before the war, can come into Ireland for almost as long as they want. They're a part of the EU, and they're unvetted. They don't require a visa. Whether somebody arrives...
Well, Ukrainians. You know, whether you're wrong. No, you're wrong, actually. Ukrainians did, but we gave a waiver because of the war.
Say that again, sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't hear what you said.
No, I said Ukrainians did need to come. They unlike EU citizens, Ukrainians did need to have a visa to come into Ireland. But that was wavered because of the war.
And Ukraine is not a member of the EU at the moment.
So they did. They you can't just come from Ukraine and you can come on holiday if you want, but you can't just come and stay in Ireland. But they can now at the moment because there's a war on. So we made an exception for Ukrainian people. But getting back to what people are talking about, you know, when they talk about unvetted, and let's be clear, the majority of people coming to Ireland are not unvetted. But there are people who are unvetted, who are people who have lost identification or who get on a plane with passports and suddenly they disappear down the toilet of the plane and they get off the plane with no passport or documentation. Do you accept their concerns? Adam?
Look, at the end of the day, you have to ask the question, if it was Ireland or any other country involved in a war, would we expect to be able to go to safety, regardless of whether we've got papers, regardless of whether we speak the language of the country? As English-speaking people, a lot of us emigrate to countries where we can't speak the language. And there's people saying, well, they don't speak our language.
And I don't think, Adam, I don't think the majority of people of Ireland have an issue with people fleeing war. I mean, we're very welcoming to Syrian people, to Vietnamese people, to people all over the world during war times. We've been very welcoming. I don't think people have an issue with that. What they do have an issue is people seeking asylum for economic reasons. And in a lot of cases, we're looking at people coming to Ireland, leaving aside Ukrainian people for the moment, looking for international protection, who are coming from countries where there is no war.
But Niall, that point there again is a failure of the government for not having a visa program for people looking to.
Well, we do have
emigrate.
A visa program, but they wouldn't qualify.
Not to the. But this is the thing: do we have an adequate work visa program?
We absolutely do, but it's been completely abandoned. Like every other country in the world, if I want to go to America tomorrow, for example, to get a visa, I have to prove that I am, you know, a valid asset to their society, that I can do something that a local can't do. I'm not doing somebody else out of a job. In other words, that I have a particular skill or I have a particular reason to get a visa. Ireland is exactly the same. There's no exception there. But that's just been abandoned.
I'm personally not aware of that program, but as I said...
We have a visa program.
If it's been abandoned, that is a problem. And, you know, this is an issue with...
We don't have immigration laws at this present moment in time. We've opened borders. Anybody can just come to Ireland now. Anybody.
Niall, that's very... You know what that's not the case.
Well, it is the case. Because...
We do not have open borders.
Well, we may as well, Billy, because... And again, I want to reiterate, if people need our support and help and people are coming from war-torn countries and they need our help, they should be getting it and we should be offering it in every way possible. But what I'm saying to you is, I can come from any country in the world outside of the European Union. I can come from the European Union anyway, but outside the European Union and claim asylum.
Niall, just on your point with open borders, I was in an airport in Europe a couple of weeks ago, coming back to Dublin. And the police on that side were screening people before they came here.
Absolutely.
And they caught one woman, and it's not a regular screening, so obviously it's a targeted operation. They caught one woman who probably was being brought into the country with someone who was going to take a legitimate passport and move on elsewhere. So they were catching that type of person. And then when I landed in Dublin, immigration, before even getting to the immigration point, at the air bridge, we're checking passports from people getting off the plane.
And maybe they are taking it seriously, but the point is, you can come to Ireland and claim asylum.
You can do, yeah. And yes. then you go into a system.
I think one of the issues is how appealing it is. Very quickly, Adam, I have 10 seconds.
Go ahead.
I think it's so appealing. Ireland is so appealing to economic asylum simply because of how high the social welfare payments are here. If you look at every other country in Europe, in Ireland, it is way above most other European countries.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show.